Welcome, everyone. This is Pam Grennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show, coming to you from the RBR Network. We're glad to have you joining us this evening. We're located out of Memphis, Tennessee, but I'm talking to you from Redmond, Washington. Our guest tonight is from Memphis, Tennessee. Just wanted you to know that anyone can access the show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford. Live, or by going to the archives, which is really the on-demand section, which is available shortly after the show finishes. So if you're not online or you have someone who wants to hear the show, you can call in at 347-838-9142. If you want to ask a question, use the same number, 347-838-9142, and press the one button on your touch tone, and that will let the moderator know you have a question. And your questions will take precedence over the hosting guest dialogue. So be sure and call in tonight. That's 347-838-9142. Well, we have a special guest tonight. His name is Ken Clark, living in Memphis, Tennessee, and he's going to talk to us about the Ball of Divinity. This is going to be a really interesting talk, and a lot of people really need to hear what he has to say. First of all, though, before I bring Ken in, I want to talk about the RBR Network and all the different shows that we do have on the network. And this is Radio by Renford. That's what that means. The Cosmic Contact Show, my show, is at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time or 4:30 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And that's every Monday. The Yano Center of Light comes on right after me at 8 p.m. That's hosted by Keith Blanchard. Peace is the I Am Well Show comes on at 8 p.m. That is hosted by Anamika. She's from Holland. The Night Church Show comes on at 9:30 on Tuesday. That's hosted by Eddie Middleton. He's from Memphis. And he's the state director of MUFON. It's an organization that investigates UFO. The No Show is Wednesday at 7. And that, of course, is Central Standard Time. That's hosted by Reverend Robert McMillan, and he's out of Little Rock, Arkansas. He talks about the New Thought Movement. The Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program is live at 8:30 p.m. All these shows are live most of the time. and it's hosted by James Renford Powell, again from Memphis, Tennessee. The Progressive News Weekly is at 5:30. That's hosted by Daryl Clark from New York. Friday, the Searchers Roadmap Show is at 1 p.m. And that is hosted by Rhonda Harrison. She's from Red Feathers Lake, Colorado. The Dream Vision 7 Show, p.m. And that's hosted by Deborah Bevay from Boston. And Saturday, Soul Town, The Sound of Music. From Memphis, Tennessee, by Reginald Jenkins. And Sunday, the last show, again, is the Dream Visions 7 show, and that's at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time from Boston. Okay, now you've got the rundown of all the shows, so be sure and check in and listen all week long. We have some great people that are being interviewed, and you just never know who you just might need to get on and listen to. Well, tonight I'm going to tell you more about my special guest, Ken Clark. Ken's bio was really interesting because he says that his journey really began right out of high school. He said he moved from St. Louis, Missouri to a small town up in the Ozark Mountains where he was a minister. He was a young minister. And he said he spent many years as a public speaker, both on religion and business. And he built a big business that operated in 12 states. So he was blessed with three beautiful sons. He's also an entertainer and a singer. I did get to listen to his CD, and it was great. I want you to know that I really enjoyed your music, Ken. But his real pathway to spirituality began just 15 years ago when he says his life crashed and burned, which shattered faith in his religion. He found himself bankrupt, divorced, homeless, and grieving over the death of his oldest son. That's when he says true path to enlightenment began, and he would really come to know God. Through meditation, he came in contact with a spirit guide named Finus, him something that would change his life forever and prepare him for the loss of another son. Anyway, Finus showed him, his spirit guide, the ball of divinity. And this ball of divinity was to help him get over his grief and his sadness about the turn of events of his life over the last several years. And he was really, sounds like he was pretty much in the pits then. And but this was a way that helped him to get out of that deep depression and to really start loving himself again. Well, I'm going to bring Ken on right now, and we're going to see what he's got to share with us tonight.
Well, thank you, Pam, first of all, for... Hello, Pam. Thank you for allowing me to be on the show and to share my story, and thank you for those who are listening. My story, as Pam said, began many years before. I was very devoted to a religion that I was raised in. But as time went by, I became disillusioned with my faith. It just didn't satisfy, it didn't resonate with me like it should have. Sometimes I wished it would have. Life would have been easier had I just gone along. There's a saying that says that ignorance is bliss, and I'm not calling the religion ignorant, excuse me, but myself would have been more blissful had I not started this path. But I left the church, and the religion that it was, they have a policy of disassociating you or disfellowshipping you. I was never disfellowshipped because I hadn't done anything wrong to do that, but they did disassociate me, and it meant the loss of parents and brothers and sisters, and it meant the loss of my children, having their grandparents and their cousins and uncles and nephews, nieces. Anyway, it was a tremendous loss for all of us. That was the price we had to pay to leave. But I started to look for answers. And I went to other churches. I remember getting dressed up in a suit and tie, and one Sunday I went to three churches that morning looking for something that would satisfy me spiritually. And I have to say, I wasn't. And I continued to look and to read and to try to find answers. And I had always heard that meditation is the way to find the answers, that all the great masters and the great teachers from Jesus Christ to the prophets meditated. So I started this path to try to learn to meditate. And it wasn't easy for me. I didn't have a guided meditational thing that some people go to. What I did is I bought the books, and I bought the tapes, and I bought the glasses and the mind control little machine, and none of it worked for me. Even though they're very effective with some people, it wasn't working for me because I could not stop the endless brain chatter that goes on, you know, worrying about what you got to do tomorrow, worried about what you did yesterday, or regretting what you did today. It was constantly there. But still, I was determined, and I would say it probably took me a year before, without giving up, that I finally was shown something one night. I was shown a mountain. And halfway up that mountain, there was this beautiful temple carved out of the side of it. And the only way I could get there was to climb it. Well, now I became focused on the climb, where I was going to place my feet, where I was going to place my hand. And so all the worries disappeared. And I became totally focused in that moment. When I pulled myself over to the edge of that cutout in that mountain, to my left was Corinthian columns to a temple, and there was a lone marble bench. Now, I know now that my spirit guides gave me this way to reach them. Anyway, out from that temple, from those Corinthian columns, I could not see in there, it was all dark, came a lone man who had a hood over his face. And he sat down beside me. And he would speak things to me that were so profound and that brought me great comfort. And over the period of 15 years, I would talk to this spirit guide. And he told me his name once, that it was Phineas. And so Phineas became my friend. And when my life unraveled and I got bankrupt and divorced and my oldest son committed suicide, I was homeless sometimes, sleeping in a van for a month at a time. It was Phineas that sustained me. In the late hours of the night, I would go to the mountain, and I would look forward to that night time in which I could close my eyes, and instantaneously I would transfer myself to that bench, and there was Phineas. And his words were so full of wisdom. Anyway, he sustained me through so much. But what happened was, I was not moving forward in my life. I was still filled with regret and with shame and with guilt, with anger, with bitterness, self-hatred, self-loathing, and I wasn't moving forward. And then what happened 3 years ago, in the anniversary of my son's birthday, the week of July the 23rd, I went to the mountain at 2 in the morning, and Phineas came out of the temple as he always did. And I expected him to sit down as he'd done hundreds of times, but this time he didn't. This time he stood in front of me and removed his hood. And I have to tell you that I started crying. It was the most beautiful face I'd ever seen in my life, and it was filled with nothing but love. And all I could say to him was, I love you. I love you. I love you. And he told me to hold out my left hand, and he placed in my left hand a ball, a black ball. And he said, every day, my son, you bounce this ball. And I looked on the ball, and there were words written like fear, guilt, shame, resentment, judgments, bitterness, self-hatred, ego, regret. And he said, I want to give you a new ball. Hold out your right hand. And I held out my right hand, and he placed this beautiful ball of light. And I thought that's what he would call it, a ball of light or a ball of love. But it just radiated in the palm of my hand. And he said, this is the ball of divinity. And I, quite frankly, didn't understand what divinity even meant back then. But that's what he called it. And he said to me, but in order for you to accept it, to be grateful for everything you experienced in the black ball, including your son, he is not dead, he lives, he said. He went on to tell me many other things. He told me that we were living in a time of great change, a great awakening, and that the call was being given to everyone, that I was not being called because of something that I had done in my past. As I quickly told him, I'm not worthy. And he said, it's not because of something that you've done. It's because of your heart and because of what you can do. And the call goes out to everyone. It's up to you to answer that call. He ordered the neurons in my brain to disconnect from their negative patterns. And at that point, he put his hand on my forehead, and I just got full chills sitting on the couch there, just like a rush that shot through me. And I have to tell you a little something. Years before, you've heard the expression, take your breath away. We usually refer that to falling in love. But when I saw my son on that gurney with a bullet hole through his head, my breath was taken away. And over the years, over that 10 years, I even had a doctor say, try to breathe. You breathe so shallow. That night, that went away. And Phineas told me, he said, if you do what I'm telling you, as early as tomorrow, people will say to you, there's something different about you, Kenny. And it happened to me the next morning with my companion, Shirley. She said, what's going on with you? I walked taller. I was filled with peace. I was filled with happiness. He said one more thing to me, because I did suffer from self-worth, a lack of it. And he told me to write on my stomach every morning, I love me. And I started to do it, and you can't help but laugh when you do it to yourself. It doesn't work if someone else does it for you. You have to do it to yourself. I lost 30-some pounds that summer. My joints stopped hurting. My friends started questioning me, Kenny, what's going on with you? I thought I did a wonderful job of hiding my pain with my friends. I was always good to pat them on the back or on the shoulder or hug them. But I was putting one foot in front of the other automatically, on like automatic pilot. But I guess I wasn't fooling anybody, but they saw a difference in me. I did things that I normally wouldn't do. I produced a show that a big shipping company picked up and honored 400 people, veterans, and 2,000 people came. That was something I'd never done before, but the inspiration came through Phineas to do that. The life was life-changing for me, this event was. But he'd given me an exercise. He said, every time you feel the black ball coming towards you, and it may come as early as tomorrow from a phone call from a relative, he said, hold your hand up and push it back into the world, Kang. Remember, this black ball has caused more pain and suffering and death than anything in the history of the world. And so I would do that. I would do that exercise, and he'd say, well, hold up your left hand and pretend like you're pushing it back in the world. Visualize it. Then look to your right hand and see the ball of divinity. Well, that worked fine for me for a while. But then some things happened. I lost another son in a car accident. And my mother died 2 months after that. My father died 6 weeks after that. And my dearest friend in the whole world, we were close friends, he was a brother to me, he died all in the same year. And so I started bouncing that black ball again. And amazing how I started to hurt and feel joint pain and gain my weight back. So I started to share this, and I told my companion, Shirley, I said, Shirley, I can't make it through the death of another child. I said, I've got to go to the store. So one Sunday, we drove to Michael's, a little store, a hobby-like store, and I bought two balls, rubber balls, about 4 inches in diameter. And I went home and I painted them and tried to copy what I'd seen in the vision. And so now I put it beside my bed. And what the ball made me do was become an observer. Even though it's very simple, what Phineas showed me, it was very effective for me and perhaps for you too. What it did is it made me realize what I was doing. I could look at the ball and go, Kenny, your ego's out of control. You're talking with your ego. Kenny, you're feeling anger. You're hating yourself. You're judging that person. You're feeling guilt. You're feeling shame. And it made me become an observer of who I am. And it was very effective in helping me to grow. And there were times Shirley would come to me and say, when I was grieving, maybe sitting on the couch and thinking about my boys, she would come to me and she placed a black ball in my hand and she said, Kenny, you're bouncing that ball again. And then she would hand me the ball of divinity. And that's what happened with how the balls were created, the ball of divinity. And I started sharing it with people, very reluctant at first. And the first person I shared it with, my cousin was an auctioneer, and he invited me to go on the road with him a month after my son had died. And I went to Nashville to do an auction with him. And after the auction, a lady came up to me, and she apparently didn't like my cousin. He has long hair, whatever reason. She just judged him as somebody she didn't like. She started to share with me, not knowing that I was his cousin, that she didn't care for him. I began to explain to her how beautiful he was, how he was always there for the family. And she got teary-eyed, choked up, and she looked at me. She said, I'm sorry. She said, I just recently lost my only son. He was 16. He died in a car crash. And I looked at her, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. I recently lost my second two boys now. And she looked at me horrified, like, how can you still be standing? And I said, have you got a minute? And I carried the balls with me then. I still do. When I go out of town, the balls are in my overnight bag. And I went out to the car and I brought the balls in and I told her the story. And I asked her to open her hands and I placed the balls in her hands. She started to cry. Her husband joined us by then. She asked me to pray with her, which I did. And then she said, would it be all right if tomorrow I go make these balls for myself? I said, of course. Anyway, I started to share it with others and I was amazed by the emotions that poured out of them. And then we did our first little workshop with it in October, I believe it was. And I didn't know quite what to say but to tell my story. And we kind of found some beautiful balls that are made out of oyster shells. Now the black ones and the white ones are made out of this pearlescent oyster shells. And I had divinity imprinted on them. But there's no way I could write on the black ball your emotions. So we had white paint pens, little stands that they could put the ball on. And when I opened it up for people to write out their emotions, to tell you the truth, it was magical. I sat in amazement as I watched people open up and share their emotions. This person over here hollered out, I have a problem with jealousy. extreme jealousy. This person over here hollered out, I have a problem with greed. And they were so busy riding their balls on the black balls, and it was amazing to watch it and how they shared it with each other when it was all through. And it was magical because they were separating themselves from these emotions. Divinity, I've come to learn many things about divinity. If you come from a Christian background, which I did, it means to imitate the actions, behaviors, and attitudes of Christ. If you're Buddhist, it's the God within. To me, the definition I like that sin seems not to offend is to be above humanity and below God. But divinity has contained in it peace of mind, love, joy, all the fruitages of the Spirit that Christians talked about in Galatians, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith. It has all those things. And when we practice divinity, it's amazing how better our lives get, how much happier we are, and how at peace we are. At times in my life, you know, Phineas told me that I bounced this ball every day, and there was a meaning behind that. I didn't always hold the black ball. There were days when I wore a smile and I was happy, but I interacted with it like bouncing it. I knew that's what he meant. But there's times in my past when I've practiced unconditional love and divinity and saw the power of it. One was an occasion when I was invited after I left the church to a family wedding when my niece was getting married. I was the only one there out of 500 guests who was not a member of the faith anymore. So many people avoided me at the wedding. But there was a man there who was very confrontational. He's always been that way, not to judge him, but that's the way he has lived his life. And I learned later that people were afraid of inviting me there because of him. Well, sure enough, he grabbed me and he took me over the side of the wall. And he said to me, started insulting me. He started to say, first of all, you're not much of a man. You're a sorry father. And you're a lousy husband. You're a sorry Christian. Those are the words he used. And I felt my face getting a little flush because that was my ego. And then I felt this peace, this unconditional love for him. And I said, you know, I'm sure you're saying these things because you're worried about me and that you love me. You might be right. I'll think about it. Do you mind if I hug you? And I hugged him, and he was totally flabbergasted. And I thanked him, and I turned around and walked away. When we use unconditional love towards others, sometimes they don't even know how to respond to it, but it's powerful. So that's basically what led me to this. We're going to have another workshop on the ball and our emotions, because what we really are is we are a bunch of collective emotions, our automatic responses. We think that if somebody insults us, that we're supposed to be angry. We're supposed to insult them back, when really divinity doesn't call for that. That's not what a divine person does. The last thing in my dream, my vision that I want to share with you was, one of the most powerful parts of it, was there was my son. He stood in front of me and he wrapped his arms around me. And I have to tell you, it was the greatest hug I've ever experienced in my life. And I know that when all of us transition or go on to the next life, that when we meet those ones that we've loved and we've lost, you will experience the greatest hug of your life. Any questions there, Pam?
I love everything you shared, because I agree with everything you shared tonight, and it was wonderful. And I do believe that we will get the best hug in our life when we do make a crossing over, and that our loved ones are just going to be standing right there, excited to see us and, you know, to be with us again. And they are with us. We just have to learn how to communicate with them. Well, you know, when we talked before, I left Memphis recently, had a great vacation over the holidays there. And you said that the ball of divinity, this helped you to learn to look to yourself again. And I believe is one thing that has really got to be addressed, should have been addressed a long time ago, is how to love ourselves. We're just never taught how to love ourselves. We're taught how to not love ourselves, and that we're not worthy, we're not good, and that, you know, we're not all these things. And, you know, we can't have an ego. We can't think we should have these things. I know that probably one of the biggest myths that it's, you know, we loving ourselves means being in denial of our weaknesses. And many believe that loving ourselves means being in denial about our seeming failures and just talking ourselves up with affirmations and all these things that are really just, are, you know, just trying to help us up and make us feel good. But that's not really loving ourselves. How do you feel about that?
Well, two things that were written on my ball that Phineas showed me was guilt and shame. And I had lived a life, I was a wonderful guilt collector. That was who I was. And religion, even though it may have been well-intentioned, it was the religion I was a part of was very good at making you feel guilty. You were never, never worthy of enough. And your salvation depended on, not on the grace of God, but based upon what you're doing at this moment. So you must always browbeat your body, as Apostle Paul said, lead it as a slave, so that somehow you may not become disapproved of, as the scripture said. You never felt worthy. Shame was always present, because where there's guilt, there's shame. And so those were two things I struggled with. Loving, and I realized that Phineas knew that. So that's why he told me to write on my stomach, I love me. My friends out there, believe me, it is very, very powerful. As silly as it may sound. You can't have your companion or your husband or your lover or you can't do it to your children. They've got to write on their stomach, I love me, Phineas said. The reason why there's power in telling your body, your organs, and all your entire body, I love you. There's tremendous power in that. It was for me. Imagine our world. Imagine how much it would change if people loved themselves. Imagine how many lives would be saved if people love themselves. So it's a very, very big issue.
Well, one thing that I guess I heard and throughout my life at different times is that it's selfish to love yourself. You're really being selfish. You know, you need to be out there serving, taking care of everybody else, and, you know, then you're going to be taken care of. You don't have to worry about that. How do you feel about that?
Well, being with my Christian background, I can only think of the words of Christ, where he said to love yourself. So the bottom line is the kingly law of love that he gave us. He abolished all the laws that the Jews had. He said, I came and fulfilled these laws. But he established one law, and that's the law of love. And if you remember what he said, you've got to love yourself, and you have to love your enemies. You have to love everyone completely and unconditionally. That's what he said. Loving yourself, how do you love others if you hate yourself? Is that not a source of bitterness and anger? I don't see how it's possible to truly. We may be self-sacrificing, and we may do that and have a loathing for ourselves and self-sacrifice. I can acknowledge that that happens, but you're not happy. You're not happy until you truly love yourself. And how can you not love yourself when you are divine, when you literally are a creation, a part of God? We are all special and unique. My dear friend who passed away, he lectured on quantum physics, and we talked about this endless field of possibilities that you and I are. We are all truly beautiful and amazing. Why can't we love ourselves? Yes, oftentimes, well-intentioned people have said, well, you don't want to be selfish and you don't want to love yourself. That would be, oh, that sounds terrible, but it's ridiculous. Of course you want to love yourself.
Well, people say, oh, they've got a big ego. They, you know, which I understand, but we've been told that over and over, don't love yourself. And some people even say, well, loving yourself means needing constant self-care, which could make you high maintenance. Or, you know, if you constantly think about your needs and what you have to have, you know, to take care of yourself, even down to how much money.
If I may interject, ma'am, I've never met a man or a woman with a big ego who love themselves. I truly love themselves. They're compensating for the fact that they weren't in love with themselves. They did not like themselves. The ego, we know, seeks identity. And so they try to have an identity. It might be materialism. It might be some club or group or group of people that they are quick to identify themselves. Oh, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this. That's the confidence. When you truly love yourself, you don't need any identities.
That's right. Well, I know and you know how important it is to love yourself. And so I believe that we have deep emotions trapped inside of us that are running our life that keep us from loving ourselves. And I assume that's what the balls helped you with, was to release these deep emotions of fear and guilt and shame and blame and all the other things that we do, so that you could appreciate who you are.
Well, every day I look at these balls because I have to struggle like everyone else to choose divinity, which is what's going to save our world or change it into something more beautiful than we can ever possibly imagine. It will have to be a pathway of divineness or divinity. But I have to remind myself, because I have a lot of programming from since I was a child. You know, when you were here, we talked, and you actually did some wonderful things for me and brought out some deep, deep emotions. You know, they go back. I can tell you right now, my oldest memory was 3 years of age. Now, you may say that's impossible to remember something from being 3 years of age, but it was so traumatic. It set me on a path of being a guilt collector. And I will share this story with you. I grew up in the city of St. Louis, and I was born in the first few years of my life. I was in St. Louis, in downtown St. Louis. And we lived in an upstairs flat. My family did. There were five kids. I was 3 years old. The reason why I know I was three is because we moved that summer to the suburbs of St. Louis. My sister was playing marbles with a young boy on the sidewalk. I wanted to play marbles with them. They wouldn't let me do it. So I grabbed a marble as a little kid pitches a little fit, and I threw the marble into the street. And the little boy jumped up and ran to get the marble, was hit by a car in front of me. I remember my father running down the steps, because I guess he heard the screeching brakes. I remember him picking me up in his arms. I remember the old ambulance coming and picking up the boy. But it was something I never was afraid to speak of and never spoke of till I was in my teen years, when sitting on the porch one day, I said to my father, haunted by all these years of believing that I had killed this boy, I said to my father, "Dad, do you remember this incident?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "What happened to the boy?" He said, "His arm was broken. That was all." But all those years, I believed that I was responsible for taking this boy's life. And that started from 3 years of age. You know, when we are born, we are like plain sheets of paper with nothing written on them. And so we go through this veil of forgetfulness, as some people like to explain it as, and it sounds wonderful and believable. But we're a plain sheet of paper, and now people write on that paper. That incident wrote on my paper guilt. We have written on a plain piece of paper whether or not we're lovable, or whether we're smart, or whether we're stupid, or whether we're handsome or ugly. So we carry that paper, we fold it up, and we put it inside us, and we carry it through the rest of our lives. When we realize that we're doing these things, and the ball of divinity, or looking at the black ball, I should say, the black ball helped me to realize all these things and to push it away from me and to accept the fact that I was a child of God like you are and like everyone else is, and that we are lovable and beautiful, and we can be divine. We can be divine if we decide to do that and to separate ourselves from all these ugly emotions, all these fits of anger and fits of rage, and all this fear. And by the way, there are two things that Phineas said belonged on everybody's ball. I can't write on your ball for you. That's why we do the workshop. But there are two things you have to put on your ball that I had to put on mine. And the first one was fear, and the second one was ego. Those two things hold us back from being the divine being we should be.
And you said, and I love what you're sharing with us tonight, Ken. Well, so now do you still go down sometimes and get depressed? And but do you catch yourself a lot faster? I assume you do.
Yes, there's times. I've lost two sons, and one of them wasn't that long ago. And I'll think about my son, Josh, and yes. But the balls helped me, remind me, the whole experience with Phineas, I know Josh is okay. I know he's alive and well, just like Ben. And so the balls helped me to go on, to continue on. My purpose in life has not been fully realized. I'm still here because I'm supposed to be here. You're still here because you're supposed to be here. And so the ball of divinity, when I look at it, it reminds me to live my life exceptionally, to do my best. But yes, I have to remind myself to push that black ball back into the world from which it came. And sometimes I will go through periods where I have to remind myself to do that every day when I get up, because I'm so faced with grief that I have to fight. But when I do it, it's magical. When I'm actually finding this peace of mind, that there's a scripture that says the peace of mind that excels all thought. And that's what peace of mind does. When you truly have peace, it excels all your thoughts. And the other thing it does, it gives you self-respect. When we do things that are right, when we do things that are good for others, life is about sharing and serving one another. And when we do that, we feel good about ourselves. It's hard to have a bad night's sleep. It's, you know, we sleep better.
Yes, and I agree with that. Well, you know, I had, I think we've all kind of had a similar thing in life, but when I was in deep depression over losing my mother years ago, and got me to heaven so I could be with the angels. And coming back from that experience, what has always sustained me to keep going on was knowing that maybe, just maybe, if I could just be the very best that I could be in this lifetime and do things right and have integrity and love myself, that someday I could go back there and be with these angels that just love me. It was the most awesome experience, which I would love everyone to have. I wouldn't want to have to do it that way, have to leave your body. All right, what else do you want to share with us? What other messages?
To me, I used to think to myself, when I die and I transition, what do I want my brothers to say to me in heaven? I would love for them to say, good job, my son. Good job. And I think that's what all of our goals should be. It's real simple. I know the story I told you and the balls is so simplistic. It's what I guess I needed from Phineas, was something simple for me to wrap my mind around. But it's effective. We have to separate ourselves from all these negative emotions that are causing us harm and causing harm to other people. I mean, what a war started off. I can look at the black ball that I have right here beside me and I think about, well, wars are started by fear, aren't they? Wars are started by hatred and anger. So how many millions and millions and millions of people have died because of the emotions that are out of control in this black ball? So if we want to make the world a better place for ourselves now, for our world, our immediate world, or if we want to make the entire world a better place, we need to pursue divinity. And that's coming. Because one of the things that Phineas said to me was, I mentioned before, we were living in a time of a great awakening and great change.
Well, I'm on that page with you too, and I know we are, and some days are diamonds and some days are coal, and we just have to work with that. And I know that we have a purpose and we have a reason for being here.
Sure.
What
if this resonated with, I'm sorry, go ahead, Pam. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so what do you feel God's purpose is for you here? What have you, I mean, it could be more than one thing. What do you keep
I think that we all have talents or gifts. Every one of us have different talents and gifts. But I don't think that's your purpose. I think your real purpose is to experience life in this world, in this dimension. The experience to the fullest. That's what I believe your purpose is. That's what I believe my purpose is to experience it. Whether I will come back and be reincarnated, I don't know for sure. But I do know this much. I'm here right now. And I want to live this life with love. Because I have found that when I love other people and I'm non-confrontational, I am happier. And there's no greater calling on this earth than to serve one another. It's a cause for happiness. And so those are what I look at as purposes. Now, we all have talents. Yes, I like to do music, and I enjoy it immensely. And it makes me smile. It makes me happy to share my music with others. But my main purpose is to experience life in this world and to grow and to learn. As Phineas said, you cannot accept the ball of divinity unless you're grateful for all the stuff that happened to you in that black ball. All the times you were angry, what did you learn? All the times that you felt hopeless or bitter or you felt fear, what did you learn? For me, during the worst times of my life is when I found God. I remember some of the elders from the church came and called on me, and they were trying to get me to go back, and I was very grateful for their intention. But I said something to them that really rattled them. I said, I used to go to the church and pray to God. Now I stay home and talk to God. That was hard for them to accept, and I understand where they were coming from. For me, this journey has been, even despite my losses, my boys, losing them was horrific. But despite all that, it has made me a better human being. I understand people's pain more. I have more empathy, more compassion. I'm a better man today for what I've been through than I was 20 years ago. So for that, I'm extremely grateful. Does that make sense, Pam?
Pam? I'm sorry. I just got disconnected. I missed what you were saying. This happens to me sometimes. I guess you're just, the energies are so powerful tonight that it kicked me out for some reason.
I was just saying basically, Pam, that I'm grateful for my experience, all of them, all the negative ones, all the positive ones, because it has led me to grow as a human being, and it's taught me more compassion, more love, more empathy for others, and I wouldn't change it, any of it. Oh, yes, I'd love to see my boys have families and bounce their children on my knee. I'll get to that someday. But I am grateful for that. You have to turn everything into gratitude. I remember when I was driving down the road and I was talking to Phineas, and it was a bright, sunny day, and this feeling of gratitude came over. I was grieving over Ben, and I just had this new thought, to be grateful for the fact that you got to be his father, because he was one of the great loves of my life. And so we can turn even the worst circumstances into reason to be grateful if we can change the way we look at it. Oh, yes, it doesn't fix the longing that we have when we miss him, but it can help us deal with the pain and the grief by experiencing gratitude that they were in our lives. Remember, they're only out of our lives for a very short time, and we will be reunited.
I remember that. I wanted to tell you, when you were talking about the reason that you felt that we're here or you're here, is something I just read the other day, and I was listening on a stream, and this person was talking, and it was so profound, I wrote it down, and it said, the primary reason of an entity in this density, they said, is to experience all things desired.
I like that.
And that's just
and we know that that's within our possibilities. You know, it's one of the things that I failed to mention, Pam, was I failed to mention, and Phineas told me, he used what I had as a basis of my knowledge, which was the Bible, to teach me. And he would always refer to scriptures. And he did that because I could relate to him. And he said to me, he quoted the scripture that said, as a man thinketh, so shall he be. And he was telling me that as I was thinking, that's what I was manifesting in my life. What you just said, can we manifest our desires? Yes, we can. And we're learning from quantum physics, and we're learning from a field of other knowledges and informations that we can, that we are literally generate or produce or manifest our own realities by our thoughts. So let's go back to loving ourselves. What can we accomplish by loving ourselves? Well, that's the first step in manifestation. Because if you don't love yourself, you will sabotage anything in your life because of the guilt and the shame that comes from not loving yourself. So start there. I know it sounds crazy, and I prayed to God that I would not be in a car accident and they would be on a table. They would take off my shirt and say, my goodness, call everyone over. Would you look at what this guy's got written on his stomach? By the way, the navel button on your belly makes a great O for love. But the bottom line is when we start there. As simple as it was powerful enough to me to change my decisions regarding what I ate and what I did.
Well, that's wonderful. I just have loved this evening with you, Ken. Ken, we'd probably sit and talk forever, and you know I'm going to have you back on the show again because this message is so powerful, and especially for people who don't know how to get back there. And you've given them a great way to do that. Your own experience, and that's all we can really share is our own experience and how we can help people, and that's what our work here is to do, is to let people know that they're not alone and that we're all together in this. So, but also, I know that you're having a workshop coming up again in Memphis, is that right? Soon?
Yes, it's January 25th. We only take small groups of people. There's only 20 people that we work with at a time because it is a workshop. I had the wonderful experience of having a therapist. I'm not a therapist, okay? But there was a therapist that attended the first workshop, and she came to me afterwards, and she was very emotional. She said, I'm sorry. She said, I'm overwhelmed with emotion by this workshop. She said, I had been a therapist for like, it was like 40-some years. She said, what you've done here, because I had to remind her it wasn't me, it was Phineas. This was a gift from the universe. Kenny didn't create this. But anyway, she said, what this does, it helps us to separate ourselves from these emotions and to look at ourselves and to observe ourselves. She says, can I use this with my other friends who are therapists? I said, of course. But anyway, and I encourage everyone on the call tonight, go make the balls. Go to the store and paint, get some paint. And I will tell you, some rubber balls don't paint well. Been through all that. That's why I found the oyster shells. Shirley and I worked very hard to find them. And if I can help you in any way to get them, please let me know. But I'm not in the business of selling balls. But I have some
tell them how to
people
get
that have told me.
I want you to give everyone your contact information and how they can reach you.
Well, my email address is Kenny Clark, KennyClark, BJT. Those are the initials of my sons, Ben, Josh, and Tyler. So it's KennyClark, BJT@yahoo.com. And anything I can do to help someone, I'd be thrilled to do it. We're having the workshop on January 25th. It is
okay.
20 people. This therapist has come to me and wanting to get together and write a course on divinity, which I'm thrilled about. And she wants to speak at this next workshop, which I'm very thrilled about. She's going to be bringing all her vast experience into this workshop, which is wonderful. So that's what we've got planned. It's a trial and error process for me, Pam. I've never done this before. And so I'm just putting it out there and letting the universe tell me what to do. Or show me what to do. And it's my dream is that this helps others. I've seen it help others so far. I've seen them respond and just be emotionally overwhelmed by it. And you realize that we all struggle with these conditioned responses and these emotions. and they hold us back from really reaching our full potential in life. So I'm just putting it out there and seeing where it leads me, and I'll do whatever they ask me to do, the universe, that is, or whatever they tell me to do, I will do. So that's where we're at.
Well, this morning I was meditating, and I started thinking about you and the show tonight, and what popped into my mind was the divinity code. And I thought, maybe he needs to write about that and call it the divinity code. It's like all the different codes that are out there now. Maybe there is one called the divinity code. But anyway, that's what came through for me. So you might think about that. And
all
I do
right.
think
I
that
will.
You need to consider going further with your work and having the great confidence. Gosh, you know, when you're giving this this powerful information and you are sharing it, and it is coming at a time, and much needed time, when we have to really put all the things aside that we feel that have been so terrible that we've done in our lives, and realize that we were so unconscious when those things happened. But now we're not. We are awake. We are awake, and we are becoming realized beings. We know who we are, that we are God's precious children. Anyway, I want to thank you again for being on the show tonight. Do you have anything else you would like to share in closing? We've got a few minutes left.
Well, Pam, I want to express gratitude to you again for letting me be on the call, and thank you to all of the listeners that listened in. I wish you all the best. I love you all. Remember that we are living in the greatest times in human history. I used to tell my boys, sons, you are living in the most amazing times. You know, we talked about the Mayan calendar in the past, people have, and, you know, 2012 and all these things, but remember what's happened. We found the God particle in 2012. We are going into some more research. We're starting up that particle collider again this year, and amazing things are happening. There is a great awakening. Everywhere you look, there are these different groups of people, and they're coming alive. They're awakening to a higher consciousness. And so these are exciting times. Don't get lost in all the drama that's in the world today. Don't get caught up in it. Watch what you put in your mind. That includes the television, because these things can be extremely harmful for you and can cause you to bounce that black ball. You've got this positive and beautiful, and that, first of all, is you, and then it's all the people around you. We must love them. If we do that, our lives will be amazing. They will be incredible now, not just in the future.
Well, thank you. That was great. The whole talk has been excellent, and I really appreciate what you shared tonight. And now, I haven't written anything on my ball yet that you gave me, my balls, and I'm going to do that, though, and I'm going to write, I love you, on my belly, because I think that's fun and that's cute, and I want to do that because I'm getting excited about that. And I hope everyone out there that's listening will write, I love you, on your belly, too. I want to thank everyone for being on the show tonight, and be sure and check back next Monday at 6:30 Central Standard Time, 4:30 Pacific Coast Time. We're going to have some excellent people on our show guests this month, so get ready. Annie, did you want to say something in closing tonight?
Did you bring me in? Thank
you,
Pam. I can't. My screen, I can't see my screen. But, wow, what a wonderful hour, Ken. I really enjoyed everything. And Shirley was wanting to come on and kind of put a little spiff on there about where the workshop is, what time, and all that.
Okay. Well,
can you bring your own, Pam?
Let me bring her in. Hold on. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, guys. This is Shirley. I just want to let y'all know the workshop Kenny was in reference to is January 25th, Sunday at 3 p.m., and it is at Urban Hypnosis Center, which is at 2865 Summer Oaks, Suite 100 in Bartlett, Tennessee. And you can call Kenny to get the information. Or you can also call the center at 901-489-5481. And I have to tell you, it's an awesome seminar. It touched a lot of people that night. And I have to share with everyone that what Kenny has shared with is amazing. I have seen it worked with so many people, and we do use it here at home all the time. I have my own set of balls that I made, and there's many a night that I pick up that ball of divinity to sleep with it because I'm bouncing that black ball. It's just a tool to work with. It's something that helps us when you don't feel like that you have anything else there. It's just that reminder. And it's an awesome thing, and I'm blessed to have Kenny in my life and you, Pam. You're my angel. And I thank you very much for giving us this opportunity for Kenny to be on the show.
Well, you are just most welcome, and what a wonderful promoter you are for Ken. I want also now to reach Ken if you want to talk to him about the workshop or to get the balls or how he can do that. His number is 901-395-3828. His email again is kennyclarkbjt@yahoo.com. I want to thank everyone for getting online and have a happy new year. Happy 2015.
Woohoo!
Yippee!
Thank you.